everyone, and welcome to F1 Explains. This is the official F1 podcast devoted to answering your questions on this brilliant sport. My name is Christian Hugill, and welcome to the Formula One paddock. I say the Formula One paddock, just outside the Formula One paddock, actually. Now, we record most of our episodes of this podcast in the paddock, which travels all over the world. And today, we have more of a reason to be here than ever before, because today we are explaining the paddock. It's a subject you've sent emails on for, well, all of the 3 years we've been doing this podcast on, and we finally wanted to dig in to the wonderful world of the F1 paddock, because it's impossible to sit and watch coverage of a Formula One weekend without hearing about the paddock, isn't it? Most of the TV coverage we watch is based here, after all. But what happens here? Who is based here? And why is it so important? Well, this episode of F1 Explains will tell all. So we are recording this episode at the Australian Grand Prix. We are stood just outside the paddock. Now, you may have seen the drivers enter Albert Park via the famous Melbourne Walk, where fans gather to get autographs and selfies with their heroes as they arrive. That leads directly to these turnstiles, where a little accreditation card that you wear around your neck, and you have to wear around your neck at all times in the paddock, all being well, as Mark Webber walks past us, all being well, lets us in. Let's find out. It'd be bad if this doesn't work, wouldn't it? There we go. With a satisfying noise, I always think, as we walk into the paddock. So it says, "Welcome to Melbourne," in big, bold letters. To my right, I can just about see the pit lane. To my left, I can see a very exclusive hospitality suite sponsored by American Express, where some very lucky, presumably American Express customers, can enjoy the Formula One weekend. And I mentioned those little tags around our neck that just let us in. They have your name on it, your job and a picture, and it signs you in and out of the paddock, so they know who is in here at all times. So once you're in, you find yourself exactly where we're stood now, at the top of the paddock. But where is the paddock in the grand scheme of the track? Well, as I've just mentioned, it's directly behind the pit lane. Usually, the backs of the team's garages lead directly into the paddock. There are a couple of exceptions to this rule, one of which is Miami. For example, the paddock is split in two there, with part of it being inside the Miami Dolphins Stadium, and in Monaco, where the pit lane and the paddock are separated by a little bridge, given the unusual setup of racing around the famous historic streets. So, what is the paddock? Well, truthfully, it's the working area of Formula One. I mentioned these little neck cards that we all wear around our necks. Basically, they are strictly limited to the drivers, the teams, media like us, television cameras, online and written journalists, employees of Formula One and the FIA, and sponsors of the sport, and of course, VIP guests. Now, the layout of the F1 paddock, it is slightly different at each circuit. And let's talk about the first difference. It is the buildings that the teams are based in. Now, I've mentioned I'm at the top of the paddock, and the team that won the previous year's World Championship have the luxury of being placed right at the very top. Those who finish last are based at the bottom of the paddock, and they have to get their steps in. So that means, of course, I'm stood opposite McLaren, our reigning constructors' champions, and their building, like everyone else's, is a temporary building, given we are out here in Australia. It's built on site, and that's the same for our races in the US and Canada, some in the Middle East. In Abu Dhabi, they are actually permanent buildings that are always up in the F1 paddock. But in Europe, the teams have their incredible motorhomes. Now, they are equipped with a bar, kitchen, multiple levels, private rooms for the drivers to decompress after a session, offices for important people like the team principal. It's quite literally a home away from home. It's also where the team get fed and watered over the course of a race weekend. Formula One, the FIA, and F1's official tyre supplier, Pirelli, also have their own spaces in the paddock too. Now, usually, directly opposite the team's hospitality unit is the back of the garage. That's where the engineering staff can work, and it's where new tyres can be stored, and sometimes you see team members working there. And then opposite, as I say, is the hospitality areas. That is the area for staff, for sponsors, and invited guests. And as the team transport their equipment via road during the European leg of the season, the F1 paddock is often also full of large trucks and trailers that get converted into engineering bases, tyre storage facilities, and also more hospitality suites. But we don't have them here on flyaway races like this. There's considerably fewer trucks in the paddock. So let's wander through and see what we can see. As I mentioned, to my left is McLaren. Directly next door to them is Mercedes. We're recording this episode of F1 Explains in between sessions, so it's quite literally a hive of activity. To my right, I can see an international TV company. It looks like Sky. Hello, Sky.
Hello, Sky.
Hi. There we are. Yeah, Sky. Lovely. It's Craig Slay.
Who are you?
We're Formula One. We're a podcast called F1 Explains.
Hello, Formula One. That's a nice little setup you've got there.
Sky like our setup. Oh, I feel flattered.
Yeah, no, we like that.
It's like being complimented by the big boys at school. That's lovely.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. Enjoy.
It's excellent. Craig Slater from Sky there talking to... Who's he talking to? Oh, he's talking to the Red Bull team. Fabulous, fabulous. So, yes, we walk past television cameras doing interviews for the coverage that you see at the weekend. We then walk past Red Bull. And it's funny because it turns from a hospitality area to a working motorsport area because we've just found where directly next to the Ferrari team where there are, by the looks of it, a local school visiting, all looking to see if they can get a glimpse of the driver. Directly next to that are a load of heated tyre warmers, which the teams are allowed to heat their tyres with before the start of sessions to get them up to speed quicker. So it always amazes me, this area, the difference between working with the nitty-gritty of motorsport and the sort of glitz and glamour of motorsport, of looking after very important people. So let's continue to move on. We've already seen McLaren. We've already seen Mercedes. We've already seen Red Bull. Now we are at Ferrari, as I just mentioned, where there is a great big crew of people looking to get a glimpse of their drivers. Before we move on to the Melbourne Podium Club, now we mentioned hospitality units. Very, very lucky people will get to come and experience an F1 weekend from the paddock, and it's as close as you can possibly be to the action. Sometimes at some races, Gordon Ramsay, of course, the world famous celebrity chef, has a hospitality unit devoted to his food where people can come and eat Gordon's wonderful food in the Formula One paddock and in the Formula One pit lane, actually, and watch the racing as well. We've got Melbourne Podium Club here, which looks extremely lucrative. I wouldn't mind doing that. Before we move on to Williams, which we're getting towards halfway down the paddock now. And then I mentioned at the top of the show, it's not just the teams who have their own hospitality units. It's also people like Formula One and Pirelli. Now, we've reached Pirelli, and something I always enjoy outside of Pirelli is tyres. Actual Formula One tyres, which currently people are queuing to have a picture with. And even lifting it up. There's a lady lifting up a tyre outside Pirelli. How was that to lift up?
It was heavy.
Is it heavy?
Yeah, for me.
Makes you realise how strong these pit crews are, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Are you enjoying...
You give it a try.
I'll give it a try. Shall I? Do you know, I've never lifted up. Hang on, come with me. What's your name?
Kiara.
Excellent. Now, just hold this mic for me.
Okay,
I've never done this. I've never lifted up a tyre.
It's going to be easy for you.
It is heavy, though.
It is heavy. Yeah. Thank you.
And they're smaller than they were last year. It is heavy. Is this your first time in a Formula One paddock?
Yes, it is.
What do you make of it?
I love it. It's really cool.
It's quite a space, isn't it? A hive of activity. What's been your favourite bit about it?
We only just got here, so I'm just taking it all in. Lifting up the tyre, meeting you.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Taking it all in, lifting up the tyres. Excellent.
Meeting you.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. Enjoy the rest of your time in the F1 paddock. Right, so we're halfway through the Formula One paddock on our little tour as Matteo Bonotto, head of the Audi F1 project, walks past us. And I think as we're halfway down the paddock, it's an appropriate time to take a break. Back in just a moment. Hello, welcome. welcome back to F1 Explains, where this week we are explaining the wonderful world of the F1 paddock by taking you on a little bit of a walking tour of it. We're recording this episode in Australia, and we've reached the halfway point of the paddock because we've just approached Pirelli. Moving past them, we're at Racing Bulls, and opposite Racing Bulls, we have Aston Martin and more tyres. So these are... Do these look like dry or wet tyres, producer Jamie? Can we work that out? Because they're in tyre blankets.
Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, frankly, no idea. But they are currently being stored in great big tyre blankets, which are connected up to machines, which will make sure that the tyres are staying at the right pressure. Now, obviously, that can be adjusted right the way up until they go on the cars. But even the tyres, when they're sat here in the paddock, are being connected up to units which make sure the teams can see the data on them. It's absolutely fascinating. So let's walk past Aston Martin. We've got Haas. We've got a gaggle of journalists here, including Nate Saunders from ESPN. We've got Stu from Haas, and we've got Lawrence Barretta. Gentlemen, we're doing an episode of F1 Explains explaining the F1 paddock. Lawrence Barretta, it's an unusual place, the Formula One paddock, isn't it? There's not quite anything like this in the rest of the sporting world, is there?
No, I guess there isn't, Christian. There's a lot of people in it.
So yeah.
That's similar to many other sports in the world.
Nate, what do you enjoy about the Formula One paddock?
I can't follow that from Lawrence Barretta. That was too good. What I like about it is if you covered football or tennis or golf, you wouldn't get every single competing team in one little space. I think it's why TV shows like, you know, Drive to Survive have been very successful. Everything is happening in what, a 200-meter stretch of space. You can go and see Toto Wolff down one end, you know, Cadillac the other. Don't think you could do that in a tennis like world, I guess. Maybe you could, but it just feels like everything is in one tiny condensed place, so it's pretty fun.
Stu, it's where you work. It's your base for the weekends. Stu is Director of Communications at Haas, a job title I definitely knew. Stu, it's your base for the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, for us operationally, it's great because we've got everybody on site and we can kind of see the engineers, but we can see the partners, we can see the drivers, and as Nate said, you get to see everybody from all the other teams as well. So it's a very unique community in that situation, and some races are quieter than others, and other races you got to literally earn your money trying to get from one end of the paddock to another, especially if you're escorting drivers from TV pens or partner events. The paddock is way busier now than it was even kind of 5-10 years ago, which again is, you know, the job that Liberty have done. This is a place that people want to come, and definitely more people do come now, but it's such a unique place where you've got partners who are spending millions to be here, you've got the teams working here, and then you've got journalists like yourselves, use the term loosely.
Very loosely, yeah.
very loosely. So it's a great melting pot. It's its own kind of bubble. We talk about the bubble and how people live in it, but you've got to remember there's a real world outside as well, but when we travel so much, you know, it's a community that is traveling together, and that's, to Nate's point, that's what I like about it as well. Rivals are friends.
Lawrence, busiest paddock?
Well, I feel like my answer right at the beginning was pretty rubbish now, considering to what Nate and Sue
well,
did.
Well, I threw so you under the bus.
I really appreciated your answer, because mine was easy to follow up from that point.
That's harsh and uncalled for. I threw you under the bus by just throwing you in front of a microphone. I apologise, but...
Normally you give me a script when we do these, so... No,
I write every word for Lawrence when he comes on F1 Explains. No, but busiest paddock?
Yeah, we were saying earlier, I think this race is pushing 500,000 people that are going to be turning over the course of the weekend. And it feels like, as Stu was saying, the number of partners, guests, media that attend. Everyone wants to be at this race, and as the season opener, I think they've done a fantastic job to kind of create this atmosphere that really builds heading into qualifying.
It is unique, isn't it, where you can have drivers, people doing their jobs, sponsors, everybody mingling in one sort of centre hub. I can't think of another sport. I think we've all been involved in other sports. I can't think of another sport where you get something quite like that.
Well, and also add celebrities into it as well. If you think about the first Miami race, I remember it was this busy. It was when we were in a smaller part before we had the field. And you had Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Brad Pitt all walking down amongst all of us teams as well. I don't think there's anywhere you'd have that condensation of people in one place.
And Nate managed to get a selfie with all of those people he just name-checked. So, priorities.
That's a secret, but yeah, I did, yeah, so all good.
I seem to remember in Miami last year, a guest of Haas being Bon Jovi.
That's correct, yeah, we had John Bon Jovi there. In the past, we've had NFL players like JJ Watt and TJ Watt, so yeah, it's that object. And those guys, when they're all here, the amazing thing is they were super chill, super relaxed, because it's still a bit of a protective environment for them, but they can get into the garage. They're very good at meeting the girls and guys that work for us as well. They know that being here, they get to spend some time with people, seeing them and respecting them for the job that they do, but they're also here to either to promote things or just to hang out. So yeah, it truly is a unique atmosphere.
Also, just sorry to you keep trying.
No, you go.
Jump in. One thing that's really cool. I remember when we saw JJ and TJ Watt in Miami with Haas. What was that 2023, 22? You see these guys that are absolute superstars. You know, men and women in their own sports. They come here and they're just their eyes are open. They're just like their minds are boggled at what Formula One actually does. I think that's a really nice reminder for us. Stuart mentioned we're in this little kind of bubble. You sometimes forget that the real world is out there, and this is actually an amazing place to be. So that's always cool.
Nate Saunders from ESPN Formula One, Stuart Morrison from Haas, and Lawrence Barreto from Formula One. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for sharing your insights and wisdom into the paddock. Lawrence, I'm sorry for making you go first.
Thank you very much for having me once again, Christian. Don't do that to me again, please.
Just been told off by Lawrence Barreto.
Love your work.
Thank you, everybody. Lovely work from you there. You see, you're the people you can run into in the Formula One paddock. Now we go to Haas, who are to our left. Their garage is to our right. Directly next to Haas is Audi. And when we reach Audi, we reach, well, one of our new teams. Of course, Audi came into the sport this year purchasing Sauber, but it was a big thing that people were going to wonder what identity they would bring with them. Their motorhome, which they will debut when we get to the new European season. The look of their team kits, the look of the temporary building that they're in for the weekend. As we explained at the top of the programme, they've gone for a very sleek, dark silver, which people were waiting with bated breath to see how they would identify themselves. Now, we have now reached a part of the Formula One paddock that is in every single paddock in all races we do across the Formula One calendar, but it's at a different place in every paddock. It is the media pen. Now, we're going to go in. We're going to wander in. Now, you'll have seen this on the television, undoubtedly. But this is the point where the drivers are interviewed by the world's media, either before a session, in some cases, like on a Thursday, on media day, where they're brought in here to answer questions ahead of the weekend, or after a session. They're interviewed after free practice two on a Friday. They're interviewed in here after qualifying, and they're interviewed in here after the race. What I can see in front of me is some... Producer Jamie, what would you call these? These bollards almost, aren't they?
Oh, the barriers.
Barriers is the word I was looking for. Thank you. Barriers, which are put up where the TV camera tripods go behind. The drivers are then brought in front of the barriers, in front of the microphones, and they are put in front of lovely gentlemen like these who are F1 camera people who are beavering away, getting ready for qualifying, actually, when drivers will be thrust in front of them. Gentlemen, is all going well?
So great. Far, so good. Yep, lovely weather.
Excellent. So far, so good. Excellent. They're currently getting microphones ready, getting cameras ready, because we've got qualifying a short time later, and they will be getting ready to bring the drivers in here. So the drivers are put in front of the world press. I can see the microphone covers for ESPN, where Nate is from, where we were just talking to, DAZN, Fox, Channel 10, Sky Sports, F1 themselves, everybody. All the reporters come in here to talk to the drivers. And of course, this is a situation I'm fairly used to, because quite often I'm in here waiting to talk to the drivers, and it's quite daunting because you're waiting here behind a microphone and you don't know which driver is going to be put in front of you. So you could be stood there and all of a sudden Charles Leclerc appears out of nowhere and you've got to think of questions to ask him. It might be Charles Leclerc, it might be Franco Colapinto, it might be Lewis Hamilton, and you've got to, well, react on it. So that's the TV and media pen. Behind it, we can see the base for Sky Sports and their Sky Pad, which is permanently structured somewhere in the paddock across the race weekend. Then, next to it, we have a refreshment centre, where, again, the working world of the paddock is, I wouldn't say interrupted, but is sort of combined with the world of needing to keep people fed and watered, where we've got a coffee stand. We've then got a Gatorade stand, should you want to get a bit of an energy boost here in Australia. That's allowed too. We're now right at the back of the paddock, where we've got Alpine, who unfortunately for them finished bottom of last year's Constructors' Championship. We've got the FIA, who are usually at the front of the paddock, but they're right at the back this weekend, I noticed. So the FIA are having to get their steps in. But of course, Alpine aren't actually at the very bottom of the paddock this year, because we have a new team. We have Cadillac, who are based at the very last position in the paddock this weekend. Their first race in the paddock, of course, by the time you're listening to this, they'll have done some Formula One Grand Prix. But they're right at the back, and we've got pictures on their hospitality building of their drivers, Sergio Perez and Valtteri Bottas, standing proud, looking over the paddock for their first season in Formula One. Now, Nate and Lawrence were talking about some of the people that you can see in the paddock.
And it really is quite something because, I mean, just in front of us now, there are two Alpine mechanics taking a Formula One front wing from an Alpine car somewhere where it needs to be. And you go from that to celebrities, and you just never know who you're going to bump into. So we've done it with Nate and Lawrence and Stu, but let's see who else we can bump into in the Formula One paddock. Excuse me, sir. Sorry, hello. I'm from the official F1 podcast, F1 Explains.
Yes.
You have got on your T-shirt the word expert hosts.
Yes.
Could you tell me what that means? I mean, I obviously, there's a little bit of a clue in it, but tell me what the role is of an expert host in the paddock.
Yes, so we work for the VIP guests and ticket holders for F1. Up in the paddock club, or as it's called, the podium club here in Melbourne. Most of the ticket holders also have VIP experiences. We bring them through the paddock. We take them on a photo safari right up against the track so they can feel the speed and see the skill of the drivers firsthand. And a number of other activities such as a track tour, the global partners for F1, we take them around the circuit with the championship trophy to the corners where their branding is sign written and they have photo opportunities. We do a track tour on the back of an open trailer and talk on the microphone around the track where the action zones are, what gears the drivers are in. So yeah, just really give the guests, VIP ticket holders, a true insight into Formula One.
So, James, you frequently bring people who've never been into the F1 paddock before in here. Tell me, what's their reaction? I know you've got to go, so tell me briefly, what's their reaction? What do people think of this place?
Yeah, so I was just with a young lady, Aussie girl, that is in here for the first time, and that was very much what I saw. They're mind blown. They feel it's surreal to be here. They can't believe how much activity is going on here, not only on the competition side, but the world media, all the agents and sponsors and guests. It is a surreal world in here, and it's fantastic to bring first-timers through the Formula One paddock.
James, great to meet you. Excellent work, sir. Thank you very much. I'll let you go back to your guests now.
Thank you.
Wasn't James good? Fabulous. David Coulthard, I'm sorry to doorstep you. I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm feeling like we're about to go and do something meaningful, which means no more practice and we're going to see for sure what the lap times are.
Because we're about to do qualifying, aren't we? DC, we're recording an episode of the podcast F1 Explains, which I'm sure you remember you've been on many times.
Yes.
Highlights of your career, I'm sure.
Yes.
We're explaining the world of the Formula One paddock. What's it like as a driver to have to walk up and down this paddock with all the distractions it brings, but also be on your A game to be a racing driver? There's nothing quite like that in the world of sport, is there?
Probably not, actually. And I think that's one of the things that differentiates Formula One from other sports. The fact that those who are lucky enough to be on the grid can be talking to the drivers minutes before they get in the car. You know, that wouldn't happen if you're standing in the tunnel ready to go out to play in a football match or something like that. Yeah. But we grew up with that. We grew up from it in karting, having that sort of experience. So I don't want to suggest that racing drivers are better than other sports people. Of course not.
But perish the very thought.
But I think because we are such a sponsorship reliant business, we know we have to deal with partners and sponsors. We appreciate them. We understand that the media are an important part of, you know, that exposure that gives us an opportunity to race. So I think there's a sort of bigger understanding and appreciation. So to answer your question, of course it's a distraction if you're walking through the paddock, but we're primed for it. And you get to your garage, that's your safe haven. You get into your routine, get your helmet on and get on with the job.
And just finally, DC, before I let you go, because I think you're about to be busy being on the television, you also now have the unique perspective of being on the other side, being a broadcaster. What's it like being live on air in an environment like this, where you're being talked at in your ears, but also, you know, a driver might have won a championship, so many things are happening around you. What's that like?
Well, I think that motor racing has been a perfect sort of warm-up for working in broadcasting because, as you say, you're dealing, especially in a live environment, you're dealing with a running order that could change, scenarios that change all the time. So I think what we learn in this industry is to put your best foot forward, have a game plan, but be reactive, you know, not to be inflexible. So I think that helps me in the broadcasting side as well.
David Coulthard, you're a legend. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Yeah.
Well, there we are. What I hope we've done is captured the essence of the paddock in this week's F1 Explains, a place where people come to work and do their jobs in high-pressured environments, and also a place where sponsors or competition winners or fans are lucky enough to be able to see a slice of Formula One and how it works up close. It's a unique place, and as we've said many times, the sort of place that doesn't really exist elsewhere in the rest of sport. Well, I hope you've enjoyed listening to this as much as I have bringing it to you. It's been great fun. Don't forget, we are here with new episodes of F1 Explains every Friday, most of them coming from a Formula One paddock somewhere. Tom Clarkson is here reviewing and previewing every race weekend. Again, always direct from the Formula One paddock. And we will be back next Friday with another episode of F1 Explains. If you've got a question for us, no matter how big or small, send it to f1explains@f1.com and we will answer it right here by talking to the best people in the Formula One paddock. I'm Christian Hugill. Talk to you next week. Bye for now.